Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show.
Straight up.
Brought to you by
Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cytogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Okay, so this morning I'm kind of sitting up, I'm getting up, drinking coffee and stuff, and Chuck goes, "Oh my God, Fox just got rid of Tucker Carlson," and I'm like, "Ha ha ha!" And he's like, "No, seriously." So we're going to be talking about that with our favorite commentator, Dr. Brian Junedeff. At 3:30, we'll switch gears, talk to Taylor Rhodes from Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association. I'm about a huge Second Amendment victory at the Colorado legislature last week. But first, let's welcome Dr. Brian Junedeff. Yeah, back from travels of following. Hey, thank you for your time today.
Sure.
So initially, you wrote a great column on AI that I wanted to talk to you about and still want to talk to you about. But breaking news on Tucker Carlson, you just sent me a tweet that I just saw. Reports coming out now from a couple of different places that I saw from people who looked like they might know what they were talking about, that Tucker Carlson was planning to perhaps do a segment on his show tonight rebutting the 60 Minutes. Ray Epps whitewash, right? And that Fox said, now that the lawsuit's all over, no, you're not going to do that. And then he quit. I mean, what do you make of it? Just your general thoughts on it.
Well, apply the 48-hour rule if we're not going to know for sure for a few days. So this is the time period where rumors are swirling about and we have no idea what's really going on. But, I mean, I've read rumors to the effect that he was looking and he might be going. If you look at the Fox lineup, and honestly, he's like the only one I watch on Fox.
It's the only appointment TV that I watch altogether.
Except for golf, yeah.
Other than sports. I mean, it's just the only one. And he's the only,
Speaking of golf, I have to interrupt. There's a series on Netflix called Full Swing.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've watched it.
I've heard about it. But
I've heard it's great. I had a lot of plane time, and I'm halfway through it. I think it's eight episodes.
It's good.
It's really good. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the PGA players.
You have to rethink the editorial stance. I canceled Netflix when they did that stuff of the child porn kind of stuff. So I canceled my Netflix subscription. So,
but nothing to watch. It's like you end up canceling everything.
There you go. Well, having been in the industry though, I mean, I think a few things. One, Tucker Carlson anymore was kind of by far their, the highest rated show. He had the number one cable news show in history, ratings wise. And from my experience in the industry, I think a couple things. One, TV stations, you never want to fire anybody or quit when everyone's in the middle of a lawsuit, because you do kind of need each other. If you're the talent, you need the station and their lawyers. If you're the station, the last thing you want to do is, annoy Tucker Carlson and have him testify against you, right?
Yeah.
So the timing of this doesn't surprise me. His silence, so I'm going to speculate wildly, but his silence, I think, indicates that if he didn't have another, that he probably didn't have another deal, but that on the other hand, though, you don't just up and quit without having given it some thought. And I'll go back to when I was working at Fox 31, right? Chuck and I were doing the radio show, and the liberal people, from Colorado Polls are always calling the TV station complaining about me. And we talked about it. And I said, it's a matter of time, only a matter of time before they force me out. And I already knew what I would do when they said, look, they called me in one morning and 9 o'clock and said, you got to choose, because somebody had called and complained. And I said, okay, well, I quit. But you know what I mean? And so
they said what?
You quit? And now somebody, we all just.
Well, that's crazy because somebody complained. I mean, people complain all the time.
Right. Well, in this case, We had, I mean, look at after the January 6th thing, you had Chuck Schumer. I mean, first of all, we know that probably Rupert Murdoch and Tucker Carlson are not probably philosophically aligned.
Correct.
And you know, you've got Schumer and AOC saying he's threatening democracy. You've got, you know, the lawsuit. Some producer is saying that the workload, she's suing, saying the workload on Tucker's show was so horrific she had to seek therapy.
But, you know, Tucker really, he was like us. I mean, we're here down in our basement, but he was down in his basement or had a little barn. And he didn't really interact with the producers and everything else on a personal level, certainly mm-hmm. by Yahoo, but he wouldn't be interacting. So when she was complaining about people, it was by and large not Tucker. It was that she liked Tucker or anything, but
it was just an overall atmosphere.
Well, you know, Tucker had access to the January 6th tapes.
Right.
I don't know that he's released all of them. There was probably a muzzle on him of what he could release, and that may play a part of it. But Tucker has been sort of a Trump-like figure of happy to blow up the establishment. He's challenging the media and the corporate orthodoxy about all things COVID and the vaccines and biolabs in Ukraine and all these things that major media won't touch. They won't go near there, or challenging the election.
Right.
You know, these are things he's actually going, you know, hitting the third rail on these things that the networks won't touch, the other cable channels won't touch, big media won't, New York Times, Washington Post, Denver Post, nothing. They're all in lockstep.
Right. Well, and let me play a little bit of sound, because he gave a speech that you got to wonder if he had some idea that perhaps something was coming, or if they'd had run-ins before. This was a speech he gave at the Heritage Foundation over the weekend, where he kind of talks about some of the things you just said. If we could please play, and Thomas, I'm going out of order here, but if we could please play the speech video.
You see so many people break under the strain, under the downward pressure of whatever this is that we're going through. And you look with disdain and sadness as you see people you know become quislings. You see them revealed as cowards. You see them going along with a new thing, which is clearly a poisonous thing, a silly thing. You know, saying things you know they don't believe because they want to keep their jobs. If there's a single person in this room who hasn't seen that, through George Floyd and COVID and the Ukraine war, raise your hand. Oh, nobody? Right. You all know what I'm talking about. And you're so disappointed in people. You know, you are. And you realize that the herd instinct is maybe the strongest instinct. I mean, it may be stronger than the hunger and sex instincts, actually. The instinct, which again is inherent to be like everybody else and not to be cast out of the group, not to be shunned, that's a very strong impulse in all of us from birth. And it takes over, unfortunately, in moments like this, and it's harnessed, in fact, by bad people in moments like this to produce uniformity. And you see people going along with this, and you lose respect for them. And that's certainly happened to me at scale over the past 3 years. I'm not mad at people. I'm just sad. I'm disappointed. How could you go along with this? You know it's not true, but you're saying it anyway? Really? You're putting your pronouns in your email? You're ridiculous.
I mean, that kind of sounds to me like he was getting pretty close to naming names there, it sounds like.
Well, he's right. And if you can look at the other Fox hosts, they don't go where he goes. You can look at other radio hosts locally, nationally, whatever. And, you know, there are topics that people will just not tackle. And I think people are afraid. They don't want to get sued. They don't want to be shunned. They don't want to be called names. But where are the, you know, where's the Woodward and Bernstein that are out there?
Woodward and Bernstein were not Woodward and Bernstein. They were, I promise
you. I mean, you get the point that at least, you know, there were people out there doing something and not just spewing pablum. But there are very few. Even Matt Taibbi has been, you know, muzzled.
Well, give me an example.
Even Matt Taibbi has been.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They want to throw him in prison for nothing, really. Well, you know, one thing to wonder, because I think you're right. at some point, people are going to speak. Now, my guess would be that there was probably some sort of legal arrangement where Tucker gets a little bit more of his contract and everybody signs a non-disparaging agreement where, you know, where he can't probably say bad things about Fox and Fox can't say bad things about him. But I think, though, what's interesting is in this day and age, I think Tucker Carlson's going to be just fine. Fox, you know, their stock, they lost $1 billion. It's in the Anheuser-Busch category, right? They lost $1 billion in stock today after firing.
That doesn't
firing.
Take a whole lot, really.
Well, no, but
a couple points.
No, there's going to be a backlash just like there was against Anheuser-Busch. Tucker has a very loyal audience. There are a lot of his viewers don't watch the other shows. They're like, right.
And then when they do watch, it's just a carryover.
Yeah, the leading,
I mean,
right?
You watch Hannity because it's on, and then you realize it and you turn it off.
You're right. You've got it muted. They're like, oh, wait, why am I still watching Sean Hannity? Well, I want to throw some other episodes.
I've come to the point of I don't even watch him. You can get Tucker's show on YouTube or on Rumble, and the whole show is, you know, 37 minutes.
Right.
Because there's so much commercial, and then you speed it up and you can hear his show in 20 minutes. So that's how I digest it, and because I listen to a lot of stuff, but I don't even bother with the station. You turn it on and it's nonsense. The Weekend is horrible.
Right.
You know, the Weekend host, it's like CNN.
Well, you know,
they're going to piss people off, and people are just going to not watch Fox. It's going to be very much like,
I mean, take for example, the station we were at, 710 KNUS. I mean, for a while, it was a place that all the conservatives would listen to, at least they could get the signal. And now it's just pabulum. It's just all bland nothingness.
Well, it is like, it's
and even, you know, KOA. 6:30. They're all bland. Nothing.
Well, it used to be cutting edge. It used to be taking on the establishment and sticking it to them. And there were people there that were quite good at it. And now, you're exactly right. It's just sort of, you know, local news and some smart comments and try to be funny. But it's not hard hitting. It's not interesting. It's not.
Well, and Tucker was right.
There's a lot of options out there you can listen to.
My guess is if he goes to podcasts, it'll be the final leap to podcasts for people.
Yeah.
I think people will get off everything else and just, you know, pick out podcasts they like or other forms. But I think the terrestrial radio and regular channels on TV, I think that's gone. It's going to be significantly reduced.
I think so too, because it's a lot of empty time. It's commercials. It's this and that, and you know, podcasts. You can blow through the commercials. You can you can listen when you want to.
Right.
You know, maybe you want to listen to a certain host that's on, you know, at lunchtime, but you're working, so you can listen to a podcast on the way home. That's how I used to listen to Rush. Rush was on in the middle of the day, and you know, that was work hours for me. So I subscribed to the Rush 24/7 or whatever, and I could listen driving home.
Right. Well, I'm going to throw some numbers out at you that sort of prove that. I mean, so Tucker Carlson, I think at one point, sort of like his highest was roughly about 4 million viewers on the most successful cable news show ever. So he had 4 million. Joe Rogan on any given night has roughly 11 million episode has 11 million viewers. He has 12 million subscribers. Even Steven Crowder, who used to be a Fox guy, right? He has 7 million subscribers, and he turned down a $12.5 million offer from Daily Wire, which reportedly is more than what Tucker Carlson was even making. So you look at, you know, Ben Shapiro gets 15 million downloads a month. The top YouTube person, which is a music station out of India, has 65 million subscribers. So you look at that and you're kind of like, okay, yeah, 3.5 or 3 million viewers is a lot for Fox, the most ever. But you compare that to some of the streaming numbers and it's not even close.
I'm not sure it's apples to apples.
Well, no, but I mean, people are clearly aware of and increasingly turning in. I think you guys are right. I think Tucker Carlson will show up streaming somewhere. He's not, somebody was joking saying he can replace Don Lemon, who also got fired. I mean, he's not going to go, I don't think, to CNN or something like that. It's not if he's smart. He needs to go.
Whoa, would that be a good move by CNN?
Yeah.
Well, you know, CNN has a new, there's a new guy in charge at CNN. And
right.
It's a, you
reviving
know,
your network. Wow.
Well, he hired Charles Barkley. I mean, right. I don't know. That's kind of, we'll see how.
Who knows? I mean, if CNN's smart, yeah, they would. They'd build a conservative or at least a balanced network and realize that Fox is basically indistinguishable from CNN and MSNBC. It's just, it's uninteresting.
Well, and it's uninteresting.
You hear the same stuff, the same guests. You watch Hannity and watch Laura Ingraham, and it's just a different person mouthing the same stuff.
And that is, I think, all tied to, and this is what people like Anheuser-Busch didn't get. And this is what why Fox, I think, is going to be hurt long term by this. People want the truth. Right. People don't want, I mean, people get when you're run by the elite, you know, rhinos basically at like that are running Fox and that are largely on Fox. People don't want to hear from them. People want to hear the truth. People watch Tucker, like you said at the beginning, because
that's something interesting to say.
Told the truth, right?
Well, and
we have been lied to by the media by so much about so much over the past 3 years. Most of the COVID follow the science has been garbage, and it's been disproven. Everything from masks to distancing to lockdowns to vaccines to therapeutics, you name it. Ukraine, we've been lied to about Ukraine. We're finding out that this is a color revolution that started in 2014, and probably we're doing the same thing in Sudan because, you know, Russia is going to build a naval base in Sudan and the administration doesn't want it. So yeah, we're just going to overthrow a government and ruin a country because, you know, we're all for democracy, just like we did in Iran and Iraq. And, you know, that's the American way now. It's not spreading democracy. It's spreading misery by meddling into a country's affairs and overthrowing duly elected governments and leaving a mess. And we're constantly lied to, and Hunter Biden, laptop and the Biden family and anybody that talks about it, people want to hear about that because anytime we talk about it, we're told to shut up and, you know, you're going to get censored, deplatformed, the trans movement, all these things are, it's verboten to talk about them. We have state-run propaganda. And if you say anything other than that, you know, you're going to end up in purgatory. So Tucker is talking about it and people want to hear it. Where else are you going to hear it? You can go on Telegram and look, but you want somebody to talk about it that can articulate these thoughts, put them together in a coherent essay and explain it, not just, you know, tweets or this or that.
No, and I think
that was the beauty of Rush. Rush could, as he said, make the complex understandable or some such thing. He could synthesize these issues to make it understandable, and you listen enough, then you kind of get it. But
he held back. I mean, you could tell the time. Say, well, let me think about how I can. I better not say that.
Somebody was saying, I think it was Leo was saying, or Jacob maybe, that maybe Tucker can be the new Rush Limbaugh. I would say he already is the new Rush Limbaugh.
No, he didn't want to go on radio for 3 hours a day.
In terms of being a voice.
No,
right?
people are talking about actually making him the voice. Having done 3 hours a day,
if you're Tucker Carlson, it's like, no, Mike. I mean, he's friends with Trump. You know, there's Rumble is out there. Truth Social, which is Trump's baby, has partnered with Rumble already. My prediction will be we'll see, you know, Tucker Carlson. I don't think he's going to go with the Daily Wire or something like that. He'll probably he'll do like Crowder or Joe Rogan launch his own thing. I mean, I think it'll have a profound impact on people's viewing because he has the bandwidth to say where he's going. And I think people who maybe haven't dabbled in podcasts are going to follow him over there, and they're going to be like, oh, well, that was easy. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I agree with him.
And I don't think Fox, you know, there's talk about who they're going to replace. There isn't anybody that, well, I mean, they censored him, right? So they've made it clear, if you're Jesse Waters, you're going to be like, hey, I want to do that Ray Epps show that Tucker was going to do. It's like, not next, so you know?
No, they'll put somebody there that no one will watch. Maybe they can hire Brian Stelter, and you know,
he's bummed because he was supposed to be covering the trial, and now that's gone. So his gig was over before it began.
Well what is going to happen to the country now that Susan Rice has left the administration? Because she was supposed to be the person who really was running the country. She would call Obama. Obama would tell her what to tell Biden, and that's how they ran. That was Susan going.
Yeah, big move day today.
Well, maybe she's going to, replace Kamala Harris. Who knows?
I think she's going to the Brookings Institute.
Oh, well, everybody goes to Brookings Institute.
So I think she's just, all they're doing is, you know, she's going to just have a little underground escalator or something like that that will take her there. She's just moving on or something.
Interesting.
Who knows? Maybe she wants to get out. Maybe she knows of what's coming for Biden. I mean, it's a drip of Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family and all that stuff that, you know, and Biden's senility and the lying about Ukraine and all this stuff, the economy. And maybe these people are just like, I don't want to be on the Titanic when it goes down. I'd rather be on the sidelines.
At the Brookings Institute.
Well, the Heritage Institute president Saturday night said, well, if you ever need a place to land, you have a home here.
Just Susan Rice?
No.
To Tucker. I was like, that seems like a hard turn.
And Tucker said,
Susan Rice wouldn't last 2 seconds there.
But Tucker said, well, you saved me before.
We don't know. My guess would be that this content battle had been brewing. Nobody wants to push until the lawsuit is over, because they kind of have that would be like a mutually assured destruction kind of thing. Now that that's gone, because I remember when I was at Channel 7, they fired a reporter really for a good reason. But then he sued for age discrimination. But in the meantime, the company had fired the two producers who were his bosses, who originally were involved in firing him. But as soon as they got fired, were happy to testify in his behalf, and he won. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're Fox, you don't want that. But here's my question to you, though, Brian. It's like, because I think there's reason to be hopeful and reason to be discouraged. It's discouraging to see the control and the lengths to which, I mean, Fox had to know this is a bad financial move, and they're willing to take it anyway to silence Tucker Carlson. And yet there is hope, because there are these alternate platforms where he can just go and will probably have more viewers at the end of the year than he could have ever imagined getting at Fox. So what do you?
Because they're being pressured. You've got your BlackRocks and your other big money people that are all, you know, woke and pushing the ESG nonsense, and they're pressuring these companies. You think Anheuser-Busch didn't know? They're blaming it on this woke Manhattan liberal that came up with Dylan Mulvaney is the spokesperson for redneck beer. It's like, really? And there's no way the C-suite didn't know about that. I just don't buy it.
No, I agree too.
And they knew, their apology was half-hearted, and they got caught. But they're also between a rock and a hard place, that they're getting pressured.
Right.
So, you look at talk radio and, you know, all the stations are owned by big national conglomerates. And what if the squeeze is going on them of you shut up so-and-so hosts?
Oh, you know there. Yeah.
They don't have a choice.
We're right here.
And it may not be the host that's, changed their tune. Maybe the host wants to keep working and they're capitulating.
Oh, I'm sure.
Tucker's saying, hey, I want to talk about these things. These things are important. And if you don't let me, goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah. And I imagine, who knows what kind of negotiations were going on. But I think they keep thinking that they can crush us, right? They keep thinking they can force us to drink their stinky beer. Well, they're doing a pretty good job, but we're not gone yet. And I think that.
Well, I mean, everybody feels it. Brian has felt it. They put pressure on him. And it's the pressure is felt by almost all of us in one form or the other that try to speak out.
Yeah. And you either, you know, you either push back against it or you crawl in a hole. But, you know, if you crawl in a hole, you got to look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, is this the right thing to do? Is this what I want my legacy? And, you know, did I fight or did I run away?
Right.
Right.
The interesting coincidence is today, Don Lemon left, and last week Dan Bongino left Fox.
Right.
So he's Bartolomas next.
Bongino is another voice of, you know, pushing back and not quite as like Tucker, but, you know, close, a lot more so than some of the others.
Right. Well, and, you know, and again, both of them, though, the good news is if you're Tucker Carlson, he does have, I mean, they're, you know, there are a lot of us out here. And so he can say no to them because people will follow him. And I think that hopefully they'll get the message, but they won't because there's too much money at stake. They don't actually even care about the message. I think they're just going to try to crack down even harder.
They're going to have to, because there are examples of people that didn't listen and look at Bed Bath and Beyond. They picked a fight with Mike Lindell and now they're bankrupt. Anheuser-Busch, Fox News, it's too early. These things take time to develop. But you can't pick a fight with every woke organization. So I think the conservatives need to pick their targets. And you can't shut the world down because most of course.
Well, we had a couple of people came on and have, you know, conservative organizations you can support. And we need those.
The boycott and stuff. Well, we'll see what happens. And Brent, you know, one of the people who pushes back and fights back is you. You do a great job with your columns, and we'll have to have you back to talk about the AI one. You had something on Bud Anheuser-Busch today in American Thinker, right?
Well, today was about the trans women athletes.
Okay.
So that's an ongoing saga, and that's another one where corporate America's, you know, taking the knee, and they're not pushing back against what is just utter nonsense of men competing against women. It's so unfair and such an uneven playing field. And, you know, ACLU, women's rights groups, everybody that supposedly stands up for the underdog
and the women
is cheering the bully.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen.
All right. Appreciate you having you on, and have a great, great day. And with no Tucker Carlson, who knows what?
I'm looking for the driving range.
They go to the driving range at 6. That's perfect.
All right. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right. Thank you. There's so many comments. You guys have had some great comments there. Geraldo to Fox, long time since he opened Pandora's vault. Yeah. Charlene says a corporate cabal doesn't need the money. Management will get a cold and parachute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably right, Charlene. I think at some point, some of these corporations, you know, you don't lightly make the decision to let the number one show in cable news history go. Clearly, they probably had the sense, probably like Tucker did too, that it was push was coming to shove. And they just decided, like you said, they're going to be rich. They don't care.
Yeah.
I don't think
they're not quite as rich, but rich enough.
I don't think I'd be buying stock in Fox News right now.
Okay. They have options at $2 a share or something.
But and I think again, and we'll stay on this. I bet in the next few days we'll hear from Tucker Carlson and see what he's got going next. Yeah. But we all know about this is good news.
Yeah, good news. There's not a lot of that out there, but there's some good news.
We've got Taylor Rhodes with Rocky Mountain Gunners Association, graciously agreeing to come on our show and talk about this. I'm calling it just a great Second Amendment victory and the progressive controlled Colorado legislature. So Taylor, first, thank you. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So explain folks what happened.
What happened?
And then maybe explain to us how you guys pulled it off.
Right. It was the last couple of weeks have been a absolute whirlwind. Initially we thought that this assault weapons ban was dead, and then it wasn't, and then it was dead again. And then, of course, in the middle of the night, they schedule this committee hearing. Well, we invited, I think it was like almost 600 of our closest friends showed up at the Capitol.
Yeah.
And we won. It was actually a miracle, I think. RMGO members, and this is just what we know that we can track. So okay. RMGO members made over 35,000 phone calls. We sent over 80,000 emails. And get this, we signed almost 100,000, well, over 100,000 petitions that were delivered to the lawmakers in Denver at the Capitol. And I think this pressure directly from RMGO diverted their course, and they knew they were not going to be able to get away with this without major, major repercussions in the election season. And frankly, with, you know, our lawsuits that are active right now, they didn't want to spend that political pressure, that political capital, for something they may not be able to even do constitutionally.
What, you know, Mike Litwin and other libs and Carlos Sun all blame Jared Polis.
Sure.
I think Jared Polis was the one who didn't want that on his. He wanted to be this bipartisan figure, and if he had this on there, he would come across. And so, you know, nothing happens by accident. It was a 7-6 vote, but the Democrats all got together to make sure which three would
probably
switch over.
Safe districts, yeah.
Right, yeah. So we had heard that from the very beginning, and believe it or not, a couple years ago when the assault weapons ban was floated before, Polis was the one that we were able to identify that stopped it then. Mm-hmm. So as bad as he has been on nearly everything, he's right. been fairly good on a complete ban of a classification of weapons. So I will give credit where credit's due. That does not mean he hasn't signed every single gun bill that's gone to his desk. So we're waiting on a couple of those to be signed into law right now. You know, the number one question that we're getting from our members is, well, y'all have raised all this money on the assault weapons ban. You know, what are you going to do with that? Well, guess what? There's a lot of other legal cases that need to be fought. I don't want to play it down. This is not just going to go away.
Right. That's going to be just, yeah.
You know, this is something that is an ongoing fight. And specifically on the gun issue, an assault weapons ban is something that, you know, while the threat has been neutralized now, it will likely come back next year. So mm-hmm. it is critical that we already have lawsuits active against the town of Superior, town of Boulder, or city of Boulder, county of Boulder, and Louisville as well. So it's imperative that we are able to beat these in the courts so that there's a precedent on the book. So when these come back in the future, be like, look, you can't do this. There's already precedent in our circuit that there's no way that this can happen. So we're going to continue to fight on that front, but then we're going to go out and sue on other things like the waiting periods and age restrictions. We want to sue on red flag. It's a little bit harder to sue on that because you have to have someone that was negatively affected, and it's just harder to sue on it. It's harder to get standing. So your money's not just, you know, going into thin air. We do have plans for it, and we do are those things that were earmarked for our legal fund are going to be used.
Well, how much money did you raise? How much money did you raise?
So we not as much as you would think. So in our bank account now, I think we've got right around $300,000 in there.
Oh, that's yeah. That's like Colorado, that's yeah. That's like an hour for attorneys like Chuck. You know,
yeah.
That's like answer the phone. Well, you know, I think a few points. One is, like you said, I think you can make it. Like you don't want to spend this kind of political capital on something that's going to lose anyway. But sooner or later, there's equal pressure. I mean, they know that the majority of people don't want this,
right.
And they don't care. You'd think that that would matter to them, that they had this kind of reaction, right? And it doesn't. The only thing that mattered is that they weren't sure they could get it passed. But they're not going to stop. I mean, like you said, it was here before. It came up this year and died. You know, it'll be back next year. And one of these times they're going to ram it through unless you continue fighting.
Right. And this, I think this year was the first real time that it was, I mean, up until the moment it failed, I thought it was going to pass.
Right.
There was, I mean, even though that we had heard rumblings that, you know, they're in this civil war with each other and they, you know, they're fighting and they're duking it out, which we knew was true. You know, I thought there was going to be some deal that was cut. To make sure that it was able to pass. Right. And then they, if you paid any attention to it, they ran an amendment that you know, would have just cut it down to bump stocks.
Right.
But, you know, we warned very early on. I mean, this is what I would have done if I was in Elizabeth Epps' shoes, which I have been in certain states trying to get constitutional carry passed. What I would have done is I would have amended it, watered it down completely, and then I knew I had the votes on the House floor to make it, you know, go back to the way it was. So that's what we were warning the Democrats of, and they even rejected that amendment to ban bump stocks.
Wow.
So we were very pleased with the outcome on Wednesday, and hopefully we can keep the fight up so that, you know, in a year when this comes back up, we'll be able to fight it off again. So for gun owners, you don't have to move out of the state just yet.
Yeah, at least not for that reason, at any rate.
Right, exactly.
Maybe. Well, what about in terms of impact? Because I always wonder, because, you know, Republicans have gotten much better organized at things like this, where they, you know, you get a text that says, click here, sign the thing, yeah, and it gets sent, you know, sign this letter, at really helping constituents go ahead and make their voice heard when otherwise you might not. And I mean, you're talking some huge numbers there, 600 people. How much difference does that make? I mean, there's a skeptical part of me that's like, the lawmakers look at it, they go, I don't care, it's stupid constituents. Or do you think at this kind of, that kind of numbers, it does make a difference?
It does. When it's that much, right? Okay. So when you're only sending in, you know, 20,000 petitions, and then maybe they get 10,000 emails and maybe 5,000 calls, and, you know, 100 people show up to the committee hearings, which has been about what it's been on every other thing that's passed this year.
Okay.
Those, you know, they'll look at it and they'll say, yeah, well, you know, those people aren't in my district, or, you know, those people, you know, it doesn't matter to those people. But when, you know, they've been overwhelmed with, since the day that, you know, we got the first draft, which, you know, it wasn't even introduced until almost 2 months after that, they've been bombarded from RMGO members, you know, telling them, heck no, we don't want an assault weapons ban. Don't do this. Of course, it was introduced. And I believe that's why it did fail. Without the activism of Rocky Mountain gun owners, this would be law today.
I think that's right.
I think it's probably very
was
true.
Was it very hard holding the Republicans together? Because we have a very weak Republican caucus.
So on this one, I will give them credit. They did not budge. And even on the bump stock stuff, they did exactly what we asked them to do. So I was very pleased with the Republicans that sat on that committee, and they did the right thing in, you know, not only voting down the bill, but voting down the amendment, which could have allowed the bill to be, you know, Pandora's box to be opened again on the House floor.
Right.
Now you've got some more, they're more coming up this week, right? The more gun bills. It's not like they said, oh, I guess that gun issue is not a good one for us, and they're going away.
Right. Yeah. So just last week, they passed their ghost gun bill out of a Senate committee, which we have a former employee that worked for a company that produced so-called ghost guns. So he testified on behalf of us then. It did pass out of committee. And then tomorrow, there is a ban on shooting on your own private property that will be in committee. So it'll be in the housing, I think it's the local and government housing committee. So it'll be there tomorrow at 2:00. I would encourage everyone to sign up to testify in opposition to it.
No, I can. Okay, let me ask you to clarify that. I mean, I can see where they might, like, we live on a golf course, right, where they might not want us doing target practice, you know, toward the golf course. Is it talking about that, or is it the kind of thing like, what if I own my private property includes a shooting range or something like that? I couldn't use. I mean, what are the parameters here?
That's correct. So the way the current law, as I understand it, is today, is if there are 100 people per square mile that live there, you can't shoot on your property.
Okay.
That's already law. It makes sense, even for gun people. We don't want stray bullets hitting someone's house.
Gang members, then it's okay.
Right, exactly. But what they have done is they have said, if they're changing it to dwellings, and that's 35 dwellings per square mile. Well, the issue is what they're, you know, they're, when they've talked about this, when you look up dwellings and Colorado law and the CRS code, they're talking about it. And, you know, that is, you know, where your bed is, right? So that's not a horse trailer or anything of that nature. However, when they've talked about this, and I don't know if they're just dumb, which yes, they are, But, you know, we've asked them about, okay, would an RV count? You know, many shooting ranges, our shooting range has an RV on it.
Right.
Would a barn count? Would, you know, a car there count? And they're like, well, now we're going to try to change the definition of a dwelling because you know, all of the homeless people in Denver, you know, right. are living on the side of the road. Well, their dwelling may be the bridge on Lincoln and I-25.
Right.
So it really, this is going to open up. And what I believe is their goal is to ban shooting on any kind of private property.
Right.
And they're going to force you into gun ranges. So that, you know, up in Boulder where, you know, for a long time I would shoot up in Boulder because there's a public shooting range up there that's actually fairly nice. And they want to eliminate all of those places.
Oh, really?
For shooting. Yeah.
That was my guess. What they want to do is the long range goal is to eliminate anyone's ability to go out and practice with a firearm or to have any right. kind of target practice or any, and no matter what.
Okay. Which the ironic thing about that is, you know, every time we get into this gun debate with lefties, they're always saying, well, these people, you know, gun owners are not as trained as they should be. They're not
yeah.
doing all the additional training. Well, okay. Well, you have a shooting range in your backyard and you've got, you know, you may have 60 acres,
right.
But it doesn't matter because, you know, you've got John Doe has, you know, 35 dwellings down the road and it's still within that square mile. So what the issue of this is it's not about, you know, it's about guns, but it's about private property. And frankly, they don't care. They want guns eradicated from our society.
Right. Yes. Right.
Let me ask you on a different subject, if I could. What's your view of the governor of Tennessee, Mr. Lee?
Yeah.
In a state that has been, you know, very strong gun rights and everything else, a large majority of Republicans in the House and Senate, and they get a tranny who goes in and kills some people because there was no gun there to stop him,
right.
stop him, her, they. And now he's calling a special session to restrict gun
yeah.
rights.
Yeah, so I'm originally a Tennessean. That's my home state. Before I moved to Colorado, I grew up, went to high school. My parents still live just outside of Chattanooga. And so this means a lot to me. And I've already been on the horn with many of my friends and activists there. It sounds like they've got the votes to do it. And the reason, or I'm not sure that they have the votes to do it, I should say. And the reason being is the Tennessee legislative session ended early. As kind of the legislature kind of gave a middle finger to the governor. And the day after a press release was sent out saying that he was going to call a special session on this gun issue to try to force red flag on Tennesseans. So I am hopeful that we will be able to kill it. However, there are major snakes in the grass in Tennessee. The NRA lobbyist in Tennessee is a total and complete nightmare. He is the reason that Tennessee does not have a clean constitutional carry bill. As when I was on the ground in Tennessee lobbying for constitutional carry, again, I have a lot of stake in that state as it's my home state. So I was on the ground lobbying for that. And the NRA was our biggest obstacle because the NRA was telling Governor Lee, well, this is what you can do to get, you know, the lefties in Nashville off your back and in Memphis off your back and even in Knoxville to some degree. And, you know, they're not listening to the rest of the state. So, you know, we're seeing that again is, you know, I am almost for sure the NRA is involved in cutting some kind of deal on red flag. I mean, remember, you know, like it or not, Donald Trump and the NRA are the reason that red flag had this emergence. Remember, yes. it was Florida with a supermajority of Republicans that yes. passed red flag after the Parkland shooting.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And the NRA right. helped write that.
There we go.
Yeah.
You won't say this, but I will. So if you have a choice of who to donate to, you know, I would say, well, let me ask you sort of a final question then. If people you have one more? Okay.
Well,
go ahead. I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people, as you said, the assault weapons ban is dead today. But God knows, I mean, you know, they do tricky things there, too. They may come up with something and ram it through the last few days of the session. Or right. if not, then next year. Where can people go to help support you guys?
Right. So we try to keep our website pretty updated, especially our Bill Watch page. So if you're interested in knowing more about what's happening in the legislature, rmgo.org/billwatch. If you're interested in just staying in the know, if you go to our website, rmgo.org, the first thing that you should see is a pop-up. You can fill out your information, and I will send you emails as things, you know, come up in the legislative session, or even if it's happening in your own backyard. I mean, now since preemption's been repealed, really, we've been fighting gun control year-round. Yeah. It's not just the 120 days of the legislature anymore. We're fighting it, you know, in city councils like Superior and Broomfield, yeah, and, you know, absolutely, all every little Tom, Dick, and Harry that thinks that they can go out and pass gun control. Well, Rocky Mountain gun owners and our members will be there to fight them every step of the way.
All right.
Well, just regard to Lee, I mean, is he coming up for re-election? Or, I mean, it would seem to me that he would... yes, you got the people from Nashville and Memphis and maybe Knoxville off your back, but you've lost all everywhere else. I mean,
right. I believe he is termed out. I think he's on his second term, and I believe he is termed out. And this is, you know, I've been in arguments with conservatives over term limits 1,000 times. I'm not a fan of term limits because, you know, at the end of their term, they have no one to be held accountable to. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to do whatever they want because, you know, they don't have to face the voters again, right, unless they have ambitions for higher office. But when you're the governor or a, you know, state senator or a congressman, a lot of the times that's your last and final stop. So we're seeing that in Tennessee with a governor that I believe he is term limited.
So he just doesn't care.
What did Trump win Tennessee by?
I am not sure. I think Marsha won by 18%.
Okay.
So it would have to be fairly close to that.
Okay. So 60-40 somewhere,
yeah,
in there.
No. Yeah. Something,
okay,
like that.
Okay.
Well, that's one thing about they're on the conservative side or the populist side, there's always a traitor just around the corner for you.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, who needs enemies when we have our own friends that will stab us in the back?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Well, thanks so much. Great, great victory. And congratulations.
Thank you guys so much. Always a pleasure.
All right. Okay, thank you, Taylor Roser. Yeah. One good victory. Yeah, yeah. You know, I wanted to play back to a little bit. Could we get a couple more minutes just to wrap up with the Tucker Carlson, because we'll be talking about this for a while.
Forever,
really. Donald Trump Jr.
What am I going to do at 6 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, no, really.
I mean, honestly, you know, that sounds like a facetious question, but for the last, I don't know, 6 months or a year or something, I mean, I've been going, okay, it's 6 o'clock, great, and now I'll go, huh.
Well, you know, again, I have a feeling I was going to play some, but actually probably don't have time.
We have time. Go ahead, play.
Okay, if we could please play, Donald Trump Jr. was on Charlie Kirk, and they talked a little bit about this, too, in terms of what is happening. I think Donald Trump, well, I'll just let him say, if we could play the Donald Trump Jr. soundbite, please, Thomas.
Your reaction.
I mean, I think it changes things permanently. That's one of the few voices in the Republican Party that would call out the nonsense from GOP senators, governors, and otherwise. You know, an actual thought leader in conservatism. And, you know, the whole thing is, it's actually mind-blowing to me, and I guess, and to everyone else, given what you've seen happen to Fox's market cap in the last few hours.
Yep.
So,
$1 billion.
I hope whatever he does, yeah, he continues to be that voice for conservatism, because, again, he's one of the few people pushing those boundaries, one of the few people you know, actually speaking to independents and across the aisle and winning them over with facts, logic, and reason. I think he's probably, you know, a once-in-a-generation type talent. Mm-hmm. Yep. And to see him go is mind-boggling.
I don't know what they're thinking. The company is down $1 billion in market cap. We'll see if they recover. I have no idea. So Don, so many other topics I want to talk about. I think, by the way, I know you have a show on Rumble. I think Tucker would be great at Rumble. I think he'd be amazing. I think it'd be
100%, man. I'd love to see him there. I think, you know, we've seen sort of the mainstream media and everything that they're doing anyway. I think perhaps even a talent like his is wasted in those kind of areas. I'd love to see Tucker speak his mind. Not that he doesn't, but speak with even fewer restraints, uh-huh, on a platform where he's not answering to you know, the Paul Ryans and the Karl Roves, and, you know, doesn't have to get that call that he went out of line saying what we all know to be true. I mean, you know, the old conspiracy theory is, you know, the new I told you so, you know, in advance. And, you know, he was one of the guys actually calling BS on all of the stuff that was so obviously BS. Mm-hmm. You know, we need that. And we can't lose that kind of talent on our side.
And I don't think we're going to. I mean, I think
what was amazing of all those rating numbers is that he had the number one show for Democrats age 25 right. to wherever it was, 54 right. or something. So
right.
a lot of people, a lot of Democrats are listening in. And that's sort of, you know, Rachel Maddow. I'd listen because she's bright and she was interesting. She's a liar and everything else, but at least bright and interesting. And I think that's what he was. I mean, you don't get Democrats wanting to hear Sean Hannity
turn into sort of a Joe Rogan-y kind of figure where, you know, Joe Rogan kind of cuts across too. And I'm sure Tucker Carlson will end up there. And I think Fox is going to regret it. And I also think, like some of the people were commenting here, I don't think Fox cares. Fox is like, we are the elite. We're part of the elite. We need to crush you. And if we got to get rid of Tucker, we'll do that. Meanwhile, we're
lose a billion. So what? So we got plenty of other billions.
Right. And we're going to try to figure out other ways to crush you. And by the way, now we're going to arrest him for threatening our democracy.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's scary when you have people like Schumer saying we have the obligation to silence people we don't agree with. It's like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Well, I saw a new one where Robert Reich said that Trump can't run because he's a traitor. And so you go, yeah, that's the mindset of the left. And I don't know how you ever get back from those people. But anyway.
No, but that's what Tucker Carlson was saying, too, which, and we've talked about that before, too. It's not really a battle between political philosophies anymore. I do believe this is a battle of good and evil. Yeah. And he's right. And I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Neither are we. Neither are you guys. hey, that'll do it for on Wednesday. We're trying to get Ash Atbaugh. She had a great column in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle about
lot of letters on that.
On the whole Tina Peterson. Yeah, a lot of letters. That'll do it for us today. Thank you, everybody. I want to thank Brian Junedup and Taylor Rhodes and all you guys on Zoom and BBS.
And all you listeners, Barney, Meg, Leo, everybody else. We really appreciate you.
We'll see you Wednesday.